Welcome to Motherhood, New Mother Trucker. Buckle up. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you doing, Kira?
Good, I managed to get the baby to sleep, so that's a good
nice.
Feeling.
Yep, and the biggest challenge done of the day.
Oh my god, no kidding.
I know, sometimes I feel bad when I feel that I have to like count down the minutes to bedtime. You know what I mean? But the other days are like, well, days are really good and it just kind of flies by and like it's a smooth bedtime and there's no tears. But other days it's like, holy fuck, I have an hour left.
I definitely find that on days when we don't go out and do anything, like a snow day. I'm really counting down the hours. 5 o'clock hits and I'm like, oh, 2 more hours. And then off duty for however long.
I know. You know what? And the snow definitely does not help. Like, I know you can, like, go outside and play in the snow, but it adds that extra element of, like, okay, first of all, I don't want to drive anywhere in the snow with my kid and do stuff because, like, I don't trust, I don't know, other drivers on the road. And, like, yeah, like, it just makes that feeling of, like, okay, I have to, like, you kind of have to stay home when it snows, you know what I mean?
Oh, of course. And then there's the whole battle of everyone getting their snow gear on before your kid loses their mind and doesn't want to go outside anymore.
Oh my god, I've battled with gloves, putting on fucking gloves on him yesterday to go outside. Like, he doesn't understand. So I tried the finger gloves, and it's so hard to get in each individual finger in their right appropriate hole.
So hard, yes.
So I'm like, okay, I'll do like the snow mittens where there's just like a thumb hole. Even the thumb hole is fucking hard to do. Yeah,
I hate
so
the
like
thumb hole.
So that's been that's my challenge when I put on snow gear. I'm like toddler.
And I feel like every piece of snow gear you put on, their patient gets thinner and thinner. And then by the time you get to the gloves, because I always do the gloves last, they're so over it.
Yeah.
And they're done.
Yeah. And it's just so easy for them to take off too if they want. It's like, wow, I just added like 15 minutes of trying to put on the gloves for him to easily rip them off.
Frustrating.
Frustrating, yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, of course.
You know, our topic that we kind of discussed about can be a little heavy. So for people who are listening to this one, we'll be kind of like discussing postpartum depression and anxiety. And I know it can be triggering for some people. But first, Kira, I just want you to kind of give a little blurb about who you are.
Oh, that's a hard one. Obviously I'm a mom and my young one is about 16 months old now. So we're moving into the fun but challenging toddler years. I also work pretty much full time, 4 days a week. And that's very hands on. And it's hard to kind of get a grasp of what you do for fun and hobbies, I find, after motherhood. But I do like art and drawing, and I'm also a big nerd, so I like video games and stuff like that when I have the time, you know. Mm-hmm. Just downloaded Hogwarts Legacy, so we're trying to sneak that in here and there when she's sleeping.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit about me.
Hey, I like that point. Sorry, I don't know why like I decided to start recording podcasts in postpartum. I've been so lost for words that my husband is like, it's so hard to listen to you sometimes because I can really see you thinking really hard about what word you're trying to say and then nothing comes out. So sorry, we'll just say that there. I love the point that you say about hobbies after motherhood, because you kind of reflect, you're like, okay, now I'm a mom, but I'm not only just a mom. Like, what did I enjoy doing before a mom? You know?
Oh, absolutely. And everything I find, especially for me, involves a child. So, oh, I liked hiking. Well, now I have to hike with a child. And oh, I liked doing this. Well, now I have to do it with my daughter, which isn't a bad thing, but it's definitely a whole new challenge and a whole new load of snacks and bottles and nap times and planning everything around that.
And kind of like the hope is too that if you do your favorite activities and hobbies with your kid, that they'll grow up and hoping that they'll have your hobby to be their hobby too, you know?
We can hope.
We can hope to some small part of it. But since I've given birth a second time, I like really reflected and I'm like, I need to do something different, something that I don't usually do for a hobby. So I joined a book club, which I've been enjoying. And then I also joined a mom's group too, and we go out like maybe like once a month for like drinks and hang out, and it's kind of nice that I've been trying to get myself out there more and do more activities like that, you know?
You know, I love that you mentioned the moms group because I didn't really understand the sense of or the need for community, especially with moms until I had my daughter. That's when I found I was reestablishing friendships with, you know, old friends I lost connection with who were moms. And even I'd reach out to expecting mothers and just say, hey, if you need me, I'm here. And a lot of people, you know, they didn't realize why I was reaching out until they had their child. And then they went, oh my goodness, you really need that community to lean on and who understand what you're going through.
That's 100% correct. And too, like, I had a couple of friends had babies before me. And I will say now, if they're listening, I am sorry. I did not know what you were going through until I had my own kid.
Absolutely.
You do rely on your community, and just like you, I do find myself reaching out to new moms or expecting moms, asking how they're feeling and such. But the biggest question I do ask is like not only about the baby, but it's like how are you doing?
Yes.
Because how many times are moms forgotten about in postpartum?
Oh, so often. And I feel like that's almost a good segue into our topic today because that's one of the big reasons I started doing it is because from my experience and how I felt, I just realized like everyone's asking, how's the baby? How's the baby? You're going to all these checkups surrounding your child. And then after, what is it, the 6 weeks mark, you're kind of left out on your own. And there's so many things that can happen to you. And there's just not that much support out there.
No, and like you have to actively find that support. It doesn't come easily to you know?
No, it doesn't.
So when you were pregnant, did you have did you experience any I guess prenatal depression or anxiety?
No, actually, and I think you might remember from because we went to school together, and one of my projects was all about the effects of exercise versus medication on clinical depression
You
because
know
I
what?
have,
I'm sorry. I will say, out of all the presentations, and there was a lot from 491 or 391 or whatever, I do remember yours
Oh.
because we were in school together for so long, and it wasn't until obviously the last term of the last year or whatever that we started talking. And I always remembered you like being shy. And then I always thought how much courage it took for you to like stand up in front of everyone and for you to talk about your experience with depression. So
Yeah,
clapping to you.
I really waited to the last minute to let everyone get to know me. That's
No,
for
but
sure.
we really hit it off in the leadership class.
Yes, we did. Oh my goodness. And yeah, it's so funny. I'm glad you remember that. But actually, I found pregnancy had the opposite effect for me. So it filled that void with all the extra hormones. And so pregnancy, I felt the best I'd ever felt in my life other than back and hip pain and some migraines. But mentally, I was cloud nine. I felt so good. And even my birth, I'd have to say, went really well. And then postpartum was just like an absolute crash to the bottom of the bottom that I just wasn't ready for.
It's
So, yeah.
and it's hard because when you feel like that, when you are at the bottom of the barrel and you do reach out asking other moms how they're feeling, some moms sure may have the same experience same experience with you. Or you will talk to other moms who'd be like, I don't feel like that. What are you talking about? I love this experience. I love every moment. Or like, oh, I love breastfeeding. Or like, oh, my baby sleeps through the night. And all these, not to say, sure, there are a lot of positives, but these positives felt like a lot of judgment and shame. And it's just like, well, I don't feel like that. I'm not sleeping through the night. And it just really added to that debilitating. Debilitating feeling, you know, of being a human being.
Definitely. I think that's a good way to put it because, you know, there's things that you reach out about. Is this normal? Is that normal? You know, I think mine started with, is it normal to stay up and watch your baby breathe? And a lot of people were like, yes, I've done that. Totally normal. But then I found things just kept escalating. You know, my daughter, she had really bad reflux and I wasn't able to breastfeed. So I was constantly feeding her a little bit, stopping, burping her, changing directions just to manage it. So that started feeding into my anxiety that I was feeling. And then I found once the depression started layering, because I found that's what had happened, it layered the older she got until she was about 9 months old. And then I started creeping out the other side of it. But it was just a weird experience to see, you know, people who had kids at the same time as me thriving and having just the best time ever with their newborn. And looking back on it now, if it wasn't for all these photos and videos I took, I don't remember that time from about birth to 9 months. I don't remember it because I was in such a survival mode. And every day it was just sticking to the routine, sticking to the task just to get through it because I just wasn't doing well. And not like I was excelling as a mom. Well, I don't want to use the term excelling, but everyone was telling me how well I was doing. But inside, I was so lost and I just didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't have my feet on the ground. And I don't know if you went through this experience, but when you get out of the hospital and the nurses start checking on you, there's this innate fear that if you open up too much, they're going to see you as an unfit mother. Depending how mentally ill you are.
Yep, I 100% say that.
Right? And I know they don't do it intentionally, but it gets jammed in there.
Especially sometimes at like the 6 week mark or with like public health, with those like checklists or whatever.
Yes, the checklist. Oh my gosh.
What do you think changed around for you at 9 months?
I think it was around Mother's Day, and my husband, bless him, he had bought me like all these bath bombs and self-care stuff from Lush. And he just said, you know, here for you to relax and look after yourself. And I just stopped and took a moment and I realized I'm not looking after myself right now, you know, because when you're depressed, the last thing you care about is you. And I thought, okay, if I want to get better, I have to start prioritizing myself, my well-being, and how I'm feeling with, you know, food, nutrition. I guess that's kind of the same thing, but, you know, relaxation, just the way we look, our appearance, it all ties together in helping us get out the other side. And I wouldn't say it was till about 14 months postpartum that I really started fully getting out of it. But I would almost say that's because I managed to go back to work and find another side of myself again that I needed away from my daughter. And that's not to say that I don't love spending time with her, but sometimes you just need to find your identity again to get out of a situation like that.
Oh, of course. And you never have to explain yourself to me because I get it. but there are some people who would be like, what, you want already want to be back to work? You want to be like have all this time away from your kids? Like, what the heck? It's like, no, like you don't understand. Like I don't know. Some people don't get it,
You
you
don't.
know, and it's so unfortunate that we have to explain ourselves why we feel like this, and then we kind of have that extra guilt and shame when we do that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And there's this girl I follow on Instagram. I think it's Christiana Tiana. I think it's her tag. But she's had five children. She just had her fifth child. She has such a beautiful, big family. And I think her recent baby had colic or something. And she posted and she said, you know, to everyone who's had postpartum depression, I'm so sorry I didn't get it before. I get it now. She said, you know, it's so happy. It's so weird being able to feel sadness and loneliness, but happiness at the same time. And I just stopped and thought, how crazy that is that this lovely lady has had five children. And it wasn't till her last one that she had this experience. Because honestly, like, I have a bit of fear surrounding how badly that went for me if I even want to have another child. And some people might say, wow, that's crazy that that would be the judgment for you. But I guess she really showed me that if you don't get it and if you haven't experienced it, you can't understand how hard it is.
You can't fully understand for sure. And with your recent experience with depression and now knowing what postpartum depression was like, is there a comparison between the two? Is one worse than the other, or?
I thought postpartum depression was way harder because you don't have the time to take for yourself, right? Self-care, because you have this new baby that solely relies on you and you have to look after, plus the sleep deprivation. So when you tie all those things together, there's just not a lot of time to do correctional behavioral therapy or whatever you
I
need to do to
know.
feel better, right? And
I
so
know.
that definitely makes it a lot harder.
Yeah. And they even say, too, like, research is now like showing that the sleep deprivation with the amount of sleep that you're not getting, it definitely does increase the chances of postpartum depression and anxiety.
Oh, I would believe that.
Yeah.
I luckily, my cousin, she had a baby 3 days after me, which was a crazy, wonderful experience because I relied so much on her and especially my sister. You know, I'd be texting them in the middle of the night. Is this normal? Is she breathing normal? Taking videos of her breathing and just saying, like, I need answers. And luckily, they'd be awake, to answer me. But it just that, you know, the depression tied in with the anxiety, tied in with the sleep deprivation. Hands down,
It's not fun.
no, not fun at all.
No. I never have really dealt with depression in my life. It wasn't until I had my first kid that I fell into what I know now as postpartum depression. I did not know what I was experiencing when I was going through it. And it wasn't until my husband finally told me. He's like, we need some help. We need to start sleep training so you can start sleeping, and you need to start talking to a counselor.
Wow.
So those are the steps that we took. Because he's never seen me ever like that before. And I remember one day after work, he came home and he bought this very beautiful orchid flower for me. And we still have it to this day. But it almost like I look at it and it's just like this constant reminder of like the reason why he bought it for me was because of my depression.
And that's hard because it was such a beautiful gesture, but
Yeah.
it reminds you of why.
Yeah. But he told me that once we took these steps, that he definitely started seeing a difference in me right away. But like you, I feel like it wasn't until my oldest was maybe like 14 months too, it was just shy over a year that I started feeling normal again, like to myself, because I had such troubles with his sleep
Oh goodness.
that when,
I remember you
yeah.
posting on Instagram and saying like,
Oh
"Oh my
my fucking
gosh."
God.
And I was just
It would be
following
like,
along like, "Oh, I hope
yeah.
Colleen gets to sleep. This is
It would be
crazy."
like waking up 5 to 8 times a night to finally waking up once a night to like waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was just like an uphill battle that I was constantly losing at, it felt like. But now he sleeps really good and he wakes up at like 7, 7:30. So I'm so content and happy with that now. It took us a long time to get here, but we're finally there.
Oh, thank goodness. It makes a big
But
difference.
it does. And what I'm gonna say next is kind of like that influencer you're following, how she had a different experience for her fifth kid. Once I just had my youngest, I didn't feel the same way I did with my first. And I think it took my second pregnancy, my second postpartum, to realize, holy shit, I actually did have postpartum depression. And it was just ignorant, I guess, and not labeling it correctly.
Well, and I guess, like you said, if you never had an experience with depression before that, you're not necessarily going to know what to look for, right?
No.
And I'm so glad that with your second pregnancy, it managed to not go in that direction because that's such a huge difference. And like, I'm just so happy you didn't have to go through that again because
Me
that's
too.
literally my worst nightmare is having to do that twice and then you have a toddler. Oh my
Right.
God.
But like I talked to counselors. I went through three counselors just because I don't know, the first two were great, but I didn't feel like I was really vibing well with them. The third one
Absolutely.
was great, but none of them, and I don't know if they're within their scope to say, but none of them labeled it as postpartum
Right.
depression. But it wasn't until I finally met with my third that I know this sounds so like dark and I don't know, scary, but this is what made me start thinking, okay, I do have postpartum depression. Is I described a scenario to her. I'm like, I know I'm not suicidal, I know I'm not going to hurt myself or my baby. I do think of times where I'm driving and I can just like get into like maybe a moderate crash, like a car crash where I would be hospitalized for a week but still be alive and things are okay. But I would have that break in the hospital of no responsibilities. And she was like, yeah, that's not a normal feeling to have. I'm like, okay, I know that's not a normal feeling. I guess I needed to hear that, you know, that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't feel
Well,
like that now, but
good, good. I'm glad to hear.
but people do. Some women have these kind of feelings of like of that, I guess.
Oh, I've done so much reading about it. And, there's women who they think about throwing their baby out the window or something, and they're
Oh
not
my
actually going
God.
to do it,
No.
but they have that intrusive thought. They recognize it, they get past it, they seek help. But I'm so glad more people are recognizing that it's not that they're bad mothers or it's not that they actually want to do harm to themselves or their child. They're just at the lowest of low, and these intrusive thoughts, I hate using the term, but they're spicier than regular intrusive thoughts.
Oh,
And
yeah.
if you don't know how to cope with that, it's unfortunately, if you're really in that place of loneliness, you might act on it. And it's so important to be able to recognize that. And
Yeah.
thankfully, your husband, worked with you and helped you get the support you needed to make sure you got better because not everyone recognizes the signs and what's going on.
And you having the experience, I know I have the experience too, but what kind of signs can we say to the listeners to look out for if they are maybe expecting or new moms?
Oh, goodness. I would say, and it's so hard because I would say if it lasts past your first 6 weeks and it keeps getting more severe, that's when you really need to stop before it gets too bad, you know? Because all moms are going to have that new mom anxiety of, is my
Oh, for
child
sure.
breathing?
Yep,
Are they
100
getting enough to
percent.
eat? But if you
Yep.
find that's continuing on, that's a big red flag. Because for me, it just kept going. And, you know, I was counting, almost obsessing over how much she was eating every single day. Everything had to be in the routine, had to be done just right. I almost didn't want help at all because I was so focused on if I don't do it, something bad is going to happen to her, which isn't normal. It's not normal. You need to let people help you. You need to let people in, and you can't take it on all yourself, you know? Obviously, like you were saying, thoughts of, I'm just going to crash my car so I can get a break in the hospital. That's a big red flag.
That's a big red one.
That's a big red one. Not looking after yourself. Because I find things slowly degrade. So it starts in your head and then it reflects on your body. You know, we always talked about that so much in school. You have to have healthy mind, body, spirit to be, you know, at your peak performance, however you want to put it. So I find the mind degrades first, and then you see the symptoms in your body. So not brushing your hair, not brushing your teeth, not taking showers, not eating well, losing weight, gaining too much weight, not looking after yourself. Those for me are the biggest red flags that you can have.
It's just so hard sometimes when it's like you have to go through weeks of it to be like, okay, something is wrong, you know?
Because, you know, we can say as a new mom, you're probably not going to shower a lot. You're probably not always going to get to brush your teeth. And that's just the way it is for the first little bit. And that's why I think the biggest thing is if it continues on and keeps going, that's when you know something's not okay.
Another symptom, not symptom, sorry, like a sign that I experienced, and I'm not like this at all, was postpartum rage.
Yes, the rage.
Oh my God, and just being so angry at everything
For
and
no
so
reason.
mad and easily triggered and overstimulated all the time. But I just remember getting like so mad at my husband, parents, at people who were helping us, and my poor dog who's like passed away now. Now I feel bad that I was such a bitch to her.
Oh.
But may her rest in peace. But I reflect on that time. I'm like, I'm not an angry person at all.
You're not. That would be the last thing I would label you as, angry.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that it definitely would be a sign for me.
No, that's a
Was
huge
that,
one, you know, because
yeah.
even I know I had three dogs at the time. I recently also lost one of them,
Aw, it's hard.
but you're right. They're chewing their toys. They're looking at you for attention. They're just wanting to see
I
what's going
know.
on. And just the absolute rage you're feeling doesn't make any sense. And it's
I
illogical.
know.
But huge red flag. And
Yeah.
you know, you can't go through life snapping at your husband, your dog, your mom, or whoever's helping you just because, and you don't even know why it's happening, right? And then there's the shame that comes from, why am I acting this way? If you're asking yourself, why am I acting this way? You need to go talk to someone.
Yeah. Very true. It's so important to ask for help. And yeah, it's so important to just to even just reach out and talk, you know, or like find people who are going through the same experience as you, or like tell your significant other, be like, you know what, something, I don't feel right, or I don't feel 100% me, or like, because postpartum depression is not normal. Sure, it's like common. And having these feelings, especially right after having a baby, are common, you know, but they should subside over time. But if these continue, it's so important to be like, okay, something's different about me. Like, what's going on?
Yes.
It's a reflection piece, but it's so hard. I shouldn't say it's so hard. Like, especially if it's your first kid, like, you don't know what to expect. You don't know how you're going to feel. You don't know how you're going to react to anything. And when you're in it, you do feel helpless and alone, and like you're never going to get on top of it, but you do.
Yeah, and it's so important to have a good support system because I switched doctors and I had a different prenatal doctor than my family doctor, and now I have a different family doctor. But I remember I went to my doctor when I was planning to get pregnant and I said, I'm concerned about my risk for postpartum depression because you do have a higher risk if you already struggle with depression. And I remember my doctor said to me, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And in that moment, I thought, well, I don't think so. Like, I'm worried. I wish you would give me more support than that. And apparently, I had all the right in the world to be worried about it. And I think next time, now that I have a different doctor who, like you said, I vibe with much more, I find they're much more understanding. I think it would be a different experience this time around to have the proper support from the get-go.
Because now you know, right? I think
Yes.
that's the level of like now you know what to expect, and you have kind of like this game plan. But you're right, having that level of support and resources right away does make a big difference.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking about it. I know it can be difficult to talk about, you know, but it's so important to talk about. So I really appreciate you coming on today and talking. I have said talking so many times.
It was my pleasure. I found with anything, people need to talk about it, right? Other moms out there need to know they're not alone. They need to know that other people have gone through the same experience and that there's people they can talk to. They can reach out and say, hey, I'm feeling this way. Did you feel this way too? And that's just kind of the culture I really want to nurture is we're here for each other as moms. No matter what we've gone through, we have each other's back and we need to have this community to, I don't want to say survive, but thrive, I guess would be the best way to put it.
That's such a good point, you know, and sometimes maybe people who are not moms can easily brush off a mom who's feeling like this, be like, oh, they wanted a kid, so this is what they get, kind of thing.
Yes.
But also, too, we should be thriving in a community of moms. But then you do find yourself dealing with other moms who are full of judgment and shame and guilt that I'm like, think to myself, I'm like, we're all in the same situation. Why add this extra layer to this? You know? So it's important to find the right community.
That's a good point as well. Yes.
Yes. Even to like friends who have kids the same time as you, you're like, great, we can do this together, blah, blah, blah. They'll have a different experience than you. And sometimes it's like, okay, like, she's not feeling how I'm feeling. It's okay to still be friends, but it's okay to venture off and find other moms who are going through the same experience as you.
Definitely, if you feel like you're not getting the support you need from your current friend group, there's nothing wrong with searching for someone who's gone through or is going through the same thing because there's this feeling of alienation. They don't feel the way I feel. I'm alone. No one feels like I do, and no one should have to feel that way. So there's people out there that have gone through this, they've made it through it. You're doing great now. I'm doing great now. And hopefully, I just want to, end it on there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You
There
can make
is.
it through it.
The biggest thing I like to like, people ask me for advice about parenthood, the first thing I say is, it's just a phase.
Yes.
It's a temporary phase. Whatever situation that you're in, it'll pass. It'll take time, but it'll pass.
It will always pass, and then you'll
Yeah.
get stuck, not stuck, but into the next phase of whatever life has planned for you.
Oh, 100%. You're like, okay, just got out of the newborn phase. Well, here's like toddler phase for you to freak out about. Oh, just finished toddler phase. Okay, now they're starting kindergarten. Like, there's always new things. They're just gonna be what you're, I don't know. There's always gonna be challenges. There's always gonna be new worries and new fears, but also new milestones and excitement things. Like, it's always changing.
Always.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks again, Kira. I really appreciate it.
No problem, and thank you for having me on, and
Yeah.